everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe Live. This show airs at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free on demand, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle @artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live, Lisa, Nancy, and Betty Ann.
Hi, everyone. It's Nancy saying hello from Chit Chat Cafe Live on Artist First. Well, it's time to unwind and enjoy some chit chat. Our guests tonight are board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. John E. Gotti, designer Diane Gilman, and New York Times best-selling celebrity makeup artist and author of the beauty book, Michelle Phillips. Girls, what an exciting show. I'm so thrilled.
Yeah, we got some cool guests on tonight.
Yep.
I can't wait to play the surgeon.
Let's get right to it. We've got lots of questions from our listeners, Betty Ann.
Yes. I'd like to introduce John E. Gotti, MD, Board Certified Plastic Surgeon. Hello, Dr. Gotti. How are you?
Hello there, Betty Ann. How are you?
Good. You're going to be talking to the three crazy former NFL cheerleaders here, so I hope you're ready for our questions.
Certainly.
Okay. Well, first of all, what is plastic surgery? Can you just explain that just a little bit?
Certainly. Well, it's a specialty, a subspecialty of surgery. Surgery is, medicine generally is considered, they have two branches, internal medicine and surgery, which is the more technical side where we're doing operations. It's the invasive side of medicine. And plastic surgery is a subdivision of surgery. The name plastic surgery kind of goes back to the Greek times, where plastic means to change form or to mold. And we're not really certain how our specialty was named plastic surgery, but it has a very distinctive and recognizable name, and therefore it's kind of stuck. Our specialty goes back to the early 1900s, where doctors in the First World War started operating on soldiers that were injured in the face, looking over the trenches in the First World War. So it's kind of stuck. It's got a long, proud tradition. Most plastic surgeons are general surgeons. At least in the old days, we were trained in general surgery first, and then went on and did extra time for plastic surgery.
Oh, okay. What are the latest trends in plastic surgery?
Well, it seems that every few years, as fashions change, certain operations kind of come out of nowhere with a renewed interest. We don't understand it. What drives it? You know, a few years ago, big breasts were very important, and now it's kind of wax and wanes, the interest. With facial surgery has always been important. We've always had rejuvenation surgery as part of our specialty, and that's been kind of a standard and a common interest for as we all age. We're interested in what could be done to improve our appearance. The specialty does kind of wax and wane in different areas, but most of us in plastic surgery kind of do all sorts of plastic surgery. We'll do reconstruction as well as the rejuvenative, and we kind of go with each, say, 5-10 year cycle. Our practice will become busier in certain areas. So trends, it's hard to say. You know, you ladies are the ones who really kind of are the ones that are coming to us asking for different procedures And, you know, we're happy to give you options, and that's really what the public really dictates what we do. And so right now there's many options that we have for facial rejuvenation. We still have our reconstructive aspects, and we're really there to kind of answer the needs for the public in general.
Well, since Lisa, Nancy, and I are former NFL cheerleaders, and we're still kind of divas, uh-huh. and we want to look good, what is the most non-invasive type of facial rejuvenation where we can, like, get in and out fast and no one will know we had it done, but we just look better?
Well, I'm certain that among the three of you, really nothing needs to be done. Betty Ann, I know you well. I would say most people would look at you and say nothing needs to be done, and I'm sure that Lisa and Nancy are in the same category. But we have...
Well, before you go any further, we love you. Okay, continue.
Well, we have... what has, in the last 10 years, what has really made a big difference are the fillers. I'm sure you've heard of the dermal fillers. The dermis is part of the skin. It's the underlying... The epidermis is the surface, the dermis is underneath, and these dermal fillers are synthetic products that are used to kind of plump up the dermis, because we get wrinkles as we get older through the millions of times that we move our face. The fat beneath the skin will thin out, and these fillers will kind of fill in an area that the fat has atrophied or thinned. So Restylane, Juvederm are fillers that we can inject into creases or wrinkles of the face, and that's been a tremendous advance. We had nothing like this before. Collagen was a product that goes back more than 20 years. That was a processed skin from the cow. It was cow protein, and our body attacked it, so it didn't last long in most patients, 3 to 4 months, but we now have Restylane and Juvederm, which are two fillers that are that go into the dermis, fill in the creases, and we'll often see those products last more than a year. And so that's a tremendous advance, because we all will develop wrinkles as we use our face. We smile and we talk, and so our skin is wrinkling constantly, and some of us show it in our 30s and 40s. We start seeing wrinkles, and so the fillers can be added, and it works very well. A Sculptra is another filler that goes very deep, that causes your own fat to grow. So we can take the mid-face. As we get older, we kind of lose our nice plump cheeks. I mean, you girls, it's more important for you to have those nice full young looking cheeks, and we can now add Sculptra, which will cause your own fat to grow. It can also be used in men, and that will add some youth to the face. So these are products that have come around over the last 7 to 10 years that have helped us dramatically in improving rejuvenating the face and improving or producing a more youthful appearance. That's why when you look at people, I'll often have patients come and say, well, geez, I followed this particular person in the public's eye, maybe someone on television or in the movies, and they'll say, I mean, they look better now than they looked 10 years ago. And the difference are the fillers. We didn't have these to use. And it has, it's something that we're able to inject off, usually in an office visit, and very little bruising after the injection. Usually within a couple of days, the patients look quite well. There's minimal bruising, and if it does occur, it will disappear quickly. So the donut fillers are the big things that have helped us a great deal.
Great.
So you like this?
Okay.
So you like the? Hi, I'm Nancy.
Yes, Nancy. Hello.
You like the fillers better than Botox?
Well, Botox is a muscle paralysis product, and that is a very nice product for an area that is wrinkling because of strong muscles underneath, like between the eyes. It's called the glabellar muscles there. We have three muscles between our eyes, and they cause the creasing. So that's another injectable, but it's a whole, it's not a filler. It's a muscle paralysis product. And it'll go in and it'll paralyze that muscle for 3 to 4 months. So it's a wonderful product, there's no question. And it's sometimes overused. If it's used around the mouth or around the eyes, it can cause an asymmetric or irregular movement of the face. But the majority of people who inject Botox, as I'd say over the last 5 years, there's been a refinement in the techniques, and so the doctors are more careful, and therefore they're getting better results. So it's a different injectable. It's not a filler. It's a muscle paralysis agent. So and there is now a few other drugs that are available that are similar to Botox that are paralyzing the muscle. And so we will see advances in this over the next decade. But so it is helpful, but it will not fill in the fat that has atrophied over normal use. It'll just cause some of those muscles that produce wrinkles, it'll cause those muscles to not work for up to 3 to 4 months.
What about the cost? Is it cost prohibitive for a lot of people? I mean, are just really wealthy people getting these things done, or is the average woman coming into you? This is Lisa, by the way.
Yes, Lisa. Well, it's a relative thing. These products are expensive, the injectables. We often joke that, they could charge one-tenth of what they charge, and they still would make a great deal of money because they make Restylane and Juvederm, and they make it synthetically, and they could make it in huge vats, and so they sell it by a cc. Now, a tablespoon is what, 5 cc's, and so they're charging us hundreds of dollars to purchase this. And it's only 1 cc aliquots, and so that's not of a great volume. So it is expensive. It's what the market can bear. These products came from Europe. The FDA, of course, slowed down the acceptance here in this country. But when they came here, they had been tried in Europe, and it was found a price range that was acceptable there, and so they've transferred it here. So the majority of these fillers for a treatment will run anywhere from $500 to $800. I think if they charge this $50 or $60, we certainly would have more people getting it, and they would still have a tremendous product. But right now, until other companies will launch a competitive product, these high prices are going to stay. $500 to $800 is doable for many patients. But
how often does it have to be done?
It depends on how deep the crease is. And so, we have some people that come in, they're 25, 30 years old, they have a crease here and there, and they may only take one syringe of Restylane or Juvederm, that may not totally dissolve or be absorbed. The material that we inject is inert. The body slowly absorbs it. It kind of disappears. And so if it's a really deep crease, it may take a couple of injections to fill up that volume in the face. But once we get a nice foundation, it'll last more than a year in most patients. Occasionally, patients will come to me every other year, and they'll say, "Boy, I put that injection in."
Then the cost isn't that bad, then, really, when you think about it. You probably waste that kind of money, you know.
Yes. Well, I mean, I wish it was cheaper. I feel sorry for some of the patients because they may need 3 or 4 cc's to plump up their creases around their mouth and around their eyes and between their eyes. And so 1 or 2 syringes is not enough to totally correct the problem. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're dealing with. You know, someone who comes in and they're 50, 60 years old, they may need 3 or 4 syringes, and there you're looking at, a sizable investment. So it's safe. That's the important part. And
What about the turkey neck? What can you do for the turkey neck?
Well, that's a bad term. We shouldn't be promoting that. But
that's
people call it. I know everyone hates their neck as we get older. It seems that kind of preferentially grows. Well, there are a lot of things. We have 3 options that I tell patients when they come in and complain to their neck. And it's almost everyone that comes in for rejuvenation. They'll say, they hate the bags and the wrinkles around their eyes, and they hate their neck and their lower face. Well, for the central neck, we can do a little liposuction. That often will get rid of some of that extra fat. And when you take that fat out, the skin kind of falls into the muscle, and that will correct their lower face and neck. That always helps. Liposuction of the neck always helps. And that's a nice procedure because it's relatively simple. It can be done in the office in most cases. And if the patient's healthy. And then the other option is a kind of a mini facelift or a lifestyle lift you've heard about, or a full facelift. So there are your kind of 3 options to take
care of. You don't have like a girdle thing you can wear under your neck to sleep in so it'll just suck it back up?
Well, we wish we had something easy. Now, the problem with the central laxity of the neck, the problem is the separation of the muscle. There's a little bit of fat that grows in the middle, and then the muscle. When you look at many people, you see the 2 bands that go up and down in the middle of their neck, and that's the separation of the platysmal muscles. When we're young, they're nice and firm together, but as we get older, they kind of separate. It's just like the muscles in the belly separate, and we get a little lax there. Those muscles in the neck separate, so we got to sew them together. That's the only way we can get those bands to disappear is to sew them together, and then we can tighten the muscles. So. I wish we had
the three of us could go in together.
Well, I mean,
we'll have to. And then we'll go on a cruise right afterwards.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. There are many, bypass procedures that some doctors will promote, but there truly is not any way to correct the separation of muscle other than sewing them together. So
there's no, like, Band-Aids or anything we can pull
hide
behind our ears to pull it back?
No, that's right. I've seen some of the things in the magazines where you can have these muscle exercisers, and nothing gets those muscles together other than sewing them together. So
that's my biggest fear is a turkey neck. That's what I'm going to jump out a window.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Gaddy, this was delightful. Will you come back on again? Because we have a million more questions. Next time we're going to have you on for a whole hour. Would you come back in the new year and talk to us again?
Any time. That's one thing that us plastic surgeons like to do is talk, that's for sure.
I also heard you were a traveler.
Well, I don't know about that. We've been fortunate. My wife and 2 kids and myself, we've every other year have gone on an expedition. And so we have been able to visit some very unusual parts of the world. And it's something that we started when our children were in their early teens, and so they were good traveling partners. And so the 4 of us, we every other year would do something unusual. So we have enjoyed some unique travel.
Well, great. We're going to have you back on, and you'll talk about that too.
Happy to.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, you ladies are delightful, and have a very good evening.
You too. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Bye, Dr. Gaddy.
Take care. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Talking to you. Happy to. Happy
bye.
Bye bye.
That was fun. I wish we could have had them on longer.
Well, we will. We'll have to have them back because we have a lot of questions from our
listeners.
Well,
the new year, new you we have to do, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, well, right now, of course, we're thanking our sponsor, Laura Geller Makeup and St. Croix Orthopedics. Stay tuned. We're going to be joined by fashion designer Diane Gilman. We're taking a commercial.
now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live with your hosts, Lisa, Nancy, and Betty Ann.
Welcome back, everyone. Our next guest is a fashion designer. Her name is Diane Gilman. You've seen her on HSN. She's known for her beautiful clothes. Welcome, Diane.
Hey, hi, ladies.
How are you?
Well, I'm great. Nice to be here tonight.
I got to tell you what caught my eye. I know you're known for your fashion on HSN, but I saw an article in the Huffington Post about surviving being a cougar.
Yeah.
That intrigued me. I thought it was really interesting, and I think that our listeners would love to hear your story.
Well, you know, I think the story is basically I'm writing a book because I have a belief about how people, especially women in my generation, can just age differently and really enjoy the second half of their lives. And so I've written a series of blogs for the Huffington Post, always about baby boomers. And, yeah, I just write straight from my heart, just the way I design. And, you know, it's kind of funny because actually I'm a very private person. But, you know, it just seems to me there's so much for my generation to kind of overcome in terms of ageism and prejudice. So I'm right in there fighting for it, and that's a lot of what my book is about. And I guess the whole thing kind of started with inventing my gene, which was a gene dedicated to female baby boomer bodies. And it's kind of now the cult gene amongst baby boomers, women over 40, really around the globe.
Now, what advice would you have to give to women that are going out with younger men? I mean, do you ever feel old, too old around them? Or how do you feel younger? Do you think that makes you feel younger being with a younger man?
I wonder about that. You know, that was not something that I actively pursued. It was something that happened to me, came my way. It was just this kind of insane attraction. Would it have made me more comfortable if it was a male my own age? Yeah, maybe. But I didn't, you know, being a cougar isn't all it's cracked up to be. I mean, seriously, it has a lot to do with just who you attract towards you. And it was just a random thing. I mean, I just got bumped from first class on an airplane, had to take a seat way in the back of the plane, spent about an hour campaigning with Delta to get me back on first class, not happening. And when I walked to the back of the plane, in my row was sitting this gorgeous younger guy. And I thought, okay, this day isn't half bad, and it just turned into this long-term love affair. And so I guess all along the way, you learn new roles as an older woman, and I guess along the way, you know, maybe I think a lot of it is a cautionary tale. You certainly, when you're in your 50s or 60s, you're not looking at happily ever after. You're not looking at finding a mate to raise a family with. It's a whole different set of priorities. So I guess my attitude is I'm really privileged to have such an amazing love life and companion. And I kind of live in the moment and take each day for what it is. And if it gets to a point where I'm too old or he wants to go for somebody younger, I think that there's a part of me in my mind that I've set aside to say, that's okay. That can happen. That can be dealt with. That's only fair.
Diane, this is Betty Ann, and I want to ask you, what is your best tip on thinking ageless? Do you believe that beauty and the way you feel is really comes from the inside?
You know, it's funny because one of the next blogs is about aging ageless. And the blog will probably be out at the end of next week. I think one of the huge keys was when I turned 60, right before I turned 60, I really sat down and I made a list of everything I loved about my life, about everything I didn't love about my life and about everything that I thought I could change or should change. And I went about doing it. And, you know, I really, one thing I felt very strongly about was it wasn't going to be worth it to age unless I aged happy, healthy, and deeply inspired by life. And I knew it wasn't going to be a free ride, and I knew it was going to take a lot of effort, but wow, I mean, it's worth it. So I think if I had to say what would be the essence of aging ageist for me, it would be really loving life. I mean, I think that one thing that's fascinating about, let's say, the last half of my life or the last third of my life is every minute is so precious. Every minute, every great event, every flavor, every happy moment is so amplified because it's, I don't know. Am I making sense to you guys? It's just, yep. I find that this part of my life, it just means so much to me. I think when you're young, you kind of take it for granted. All this stuff is going to come your way and life is going to go on forever. But I think when you get past a certain age and a lot of good stuff happens to you, and I'm so much more appreciative. And one of the blogs I'm writing that'll be out within the next couple of weeks is I was driving, I was after doing a lot of TV shows, and they were hard, but they were great. And I thought to myself, oh, and I was going to this huge fashion event, and I loved my dress and my shoes. And I was thinking, wow, you know, everything I ever wanted to be, I became after 60. And I thought to myself, well, am I like Benjamin Button? I mean, but you know, really? But I never look a gift horse in the mouth. And I think to myself, I could sit there and say, oh, I'm so bummed. All this stuff, if only it happened to me at 40 or 30. But no, I mean, it all happened to me after 60. And so I hope to pass a lot of that inspiration on to as many women as I can. Certainly as many women as I've clothed in my jeans.
Mm-hmm. Well, Diane, we have just enjoyed having you on our Chit Chat Cafe Life show. It would be fun sometime to have you back and talk more about your accessories and jewelry and fun things.
Great.
Join us again.
Thanks so much.
That'd
Bye.
Be great. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you.
You
very much. Bye.
Well, that was wonderful to talk to Diane. I know a lot of people look at her on HLN. No, HSN.
Right, the Home Shopping Network. Yeah, she's got jeans and
accessories
and cool
the
stuff.
The HLN is the news that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, she sent us some samples.
The samples.
Samples, yep.
We received a box of samples. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun to talk to her again to talk about her bracelets.
Except
I'm in love with bracelets.
Size 2. I don't think I was ever a size 2, even when I was skinny.
Well, you look gorgeous. Well,
that was nice of her to do, though.
It was
very nice.
Very nice.
Very nice. Yes.
Well, we're thanking our sponsor.
Yep.
Intimacy Bras. So, stay tuned. We're taking a quick commercial, and we're coming back with New York Times bestselling author Michelle Phillips.
We'll be right back.
And now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live.
Welcome back, everyone. We are sitting here on this beauty night with the book in our hand, The Beauty Blueprint, 8 Steps to Building the Life and Look of Your Dreams. It's written by celebrity makeup artist and Amazon.com best-selling author. I've been saying the New York Times wishful thinking, and it will happen, I'm sure. Welcome, Michelle Phillips.
Thank you, ladies. Yes, you have just affirmed that someday I'm going to be on the New York Times bestseller, hopefully soon.
Well, go for it. Amazon.
So thanks for putting that out there. I believe when you say something, then, you know, it's inevitable. It just may happen.
That's right. Well, we love your book, and we are just so appreciative. You were so kind to send us an autographed copy.
Aw, well,
thank
I wanted
you very
to
much.
Have
we read it from
I'm
cover
glad
to
that
cover.
You enjoyed the book.
All of our listeners are just really excited to hear about. Tell us about your beauty blueprint assessment, and how do we start with that? How would one start?
Well, the assessment is pretty much, well, I'm a life coach as well as a celebrity makeup artist. So what I've done is I've combined my life coaching to help people really figure out what it is that they want in their lives, and then how to make that happen, and then how do you want to present that outward to the world through your image. So the first place you want to start is doing an assessment, which really helps you figure out where you are right now and where you want to go. It's kind of like a GPS. So I look at it like this. You know, if you get in the car and you know you've got to get somewhere and you've got the address, you got to figure out how to get there. So that's what the assessment is. It's that first step to take a look at where you are now.
And so in your book, you talk about different exercises and affirmations that we can use to help ourselves get there.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, once you look at your assessment, it could be, for example, your health, or it could be relationships, financial, career. Those are 4 categories that if you take a look at where you need to really remove what's blocking you, and then take the steps to get there, everything else in your life will start to unfold. For example, I had a client who had moved to a new town, and she was an artist and really hadn't been getting out to introduce herself to the artist world in the new town. But she was doing pretty well where she used to live, but here she was in a whole new place and didn't know how to market herself. And so we talked about what she needed to do to remove what's blocking her so that she could get out and start meeting new people. So we created an action plan together, which I take you through the steps on how to do in the book. And literally, she went out and started introducing herself to new people in the art world and started showing them her artwork and made a plan to do that, to meet 2 new people per week. Within 6 weeks, she was invited to hang her art in a very well-known gallery and sold over $10,000 worth of art.
Wow.
And so what with the assessment and then going out there and creating those positive affirmations is basically just saying, you know what? We all have things that we want to do in life, but many of us just stop and say, I feel stuck. I don't know what's next. I don't know how to get there. And that just really means we need the tools to take action to make our lives better, to grow, and to really flourish. And so that's what the book takes you through, that whole process on how to get there.
Why do most makeovers not work?
I feel, as a celebrity makeup artist, that most makeovers don't work, because what we're doing is we're just creating an outward, like, okay, putting on a fresh coat of paint on the outside. We're not really identifying who we are on the inside. So a lot of people that get makeovers, they look in the mirror and they go, great, you know, I look beautiful. But will they do that again, and will they keep up that look? Not normally. And it's because, have we really identified who that person is and what their lifestyle is and what they like and created a style that's just for them? And so that's why I look at transformation as a way to create change. And then in turn, you will begin to look better when you start living a better life. And then you will feel more confident about your style. And then you can start to figure out how you want to put your style together according to who you are, what your life is about. You know, I always talk about Ellen DeGeneres. You know, she is such a great example of how she just exudes joy and happiness and enthusiasm in her life. And that radiates outward, and that's beauty. And so who is now in the CoverGirl in magazines and the CoverGirl ads? Ellen. Because she has her own style, but we look at her as beautiful, don't we? And so that's what I teach in the book.
What's the tossing out the old? What do you mean when you say that?
Tossing out the old, you mean with clothes?
With anything, yeah, makeup, clothes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it could be, that could be a big, you know, depending on what you're trying to get rid
declutter,
of in your
like,
life.
Declutter your life. Declutter. That's
exactly. And, you know, that could start with relationships in our lives. I have an exercise in my book. I have coaching circles that I do for women, and we go through like a four-week course on really going through this process together. And it's interesting when I talk about checking your mirrors, and if you think about all the people that you spend a lot of time with in your life, and I'm not talking about people that you work with that you have to be around, your personal friends and family members that you spend a lot of time with. And I encourage everyone to look at the amount of negativity around them. Because if there's a lot of negativity around you, that means we either have a lot of negativity inside of us, or we may be living in a very negative atmosphere. So it's really important to figure out where we are in our friendships, too, and make sure that we're not having those energy suckers in our life that are keeping us from really moving forward and being happy. Because we can only control one person, and that's ourselves. So, you know, you can go through your relationships and really look at how you can improve and remove the negativity. And then, yeah, when it gets to time to clean out your closet and your clothes, I look at what in your closet is not serving you. Do you ever look in your closet and say, I have
nothing
to wear?
Right, like they say, if you don't wear it in, what, like 2 years or a year, get rid of it?
Yeah, 6 months, you know, besides the seasonal stuff. But, you know, how many times
thinking,
you guys look in the closet?
You put it away for the season again, and then the next season comes around, I think I'll wear it, and then you don't wear it again.
Yeah, that's okay. But if there are things in your closet that don't fit and haven't fit for maybe a year or two,
right?
Do those things make you feel good when you look at them when you open your closet?
No, you get depressed, no.
Exactly. So
Betty
get rid of the guilt
now,
garment.
Stuff on eBay, stuff that's been cluttering up our lives, right, Betty?
Yeah. And if you don't want to part with it, no big deal. Just move it to another closet. You want your closet to feel positive. And in the book, what I do is I give you a step-by-step process on how to organize your closet, how to declutter your closet, and create a personal and professional wardrobe. So that way you have clothes that work for you rather than you trying to make your clothes work. And, you know, and a lot of times we're constantly buying things on sale and then we're making a career out of trying to find things that match that one blouse that
we bought. Right, right, you're right.
Right, so we're spending a lot of money on things that don't work for us. So, you know, I take you through that whole process in the book, and also creating your own personal style. There is a process that you can go through in the book that will help you determine what your personal style is just for you. And then you can create that, and you can rip that page out of the book if you want, or print out your own and put it in your handbag. And every time you go shopping, you have your own beauty blueprint guide for makeup, for your wardrobe. And that is at the end. I mean, the two chapters at the end, it's one chapter at the end, but it's got an extra bonus chapter with a resource guide, products I recommend, and I'm into simplicity. I think being beautiful does not have to mean being trendy, being a size 2, or looking like a Barbie. I want people to feel really good with who they are and love the body you have today.
We think that's wonderful,
philosophy.
And your book is just beautiful. I think all of our listeners are going to enjoy it.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. You know, we all can list 10 things that's wrong with us. It's really easy to do, but what I really am wanting people to do is start listing 20 to 30 to 40 to 50 things that's right about us. And when we start doing that and really focusing on the positive in our lives, I have women who have been listening to my radio show. I have a show on HayHouseRadio.com, and I have a coaching circle for women, and people have read the book. I have women that are writing me saying, I've lost 75 pounds. I look better. I'm changing careers. I'm in better relationships. All because they're starting to really focus on the positive in their lives and what's beautiful about them and taking good care of themselves. And that's what the book is really about.
And it's true. In your book, I like the way that you've done it with affirmations and exercises for each of us to do,
yes,
as well as giving us tips for building your wardrobe. Very nice.
Yes. Thank you very much. Well, you know, a lot of us are told what to do, and I have created a process that you do the work and you figure out what's best for you by going through the process. So I just help guide you, and you discover who you are. That's the beauty of the book. That's what I wanted it to be, because that's what I do with my clients every day. I enhance and accentuate their beauty. I don't try to cover them up or mask them or make them something they're not.
Now,
so I appreciate that.
Are you able to share which celebrities you've enjoyed working with?
Gosh, I have worked with so many. I've worked with a lot of guys, too. My favorite was Jeff Foxworthy.
Oh, fun. Cool.
I had the pleasure of working with Deborah Norville, Katie Couric,
wow,
Doris Roberts, and I even worked with Kobe Kaye one time when she was in town for a concert. Lots of people, and a slew of broadcast journalists. I've worked with Broadcast News and CNN, Fox, CBS, NBC, all the main networks. It was started about 18 years ago. So I've been very, very blessed to work with some amazing people that I found to be inspirational and very, the leadership qualities that they had and the fact that they had to go on TV every day, really sharing stories that were affecting our lives while at the same time they were going through their own stuff too. So they stayed positive, they stayed focused, and despite what other people think and feel of many of these people on TV, they have bad days too and have to go out there and shake it off and put it aside. And so that's what I've learned, and that's what I share in the book as well, some of the amazing qualities I've learned from people over the years to be successful as well.
Well, I think Betty Ann would like to ask you a question now too.
Absolutely.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I wanted to ask you, I'm doing great. How did you get started working with celebrities?
It actually happened when I started. I was asked to work for a CBS station in Tampa, and I started working with the local newscasters there. And from there, I was referred to other networks. They would call in and say, do you have a makeup artist? And I started working with, for example, CNN. And then one producer used me and really liked me and then referred me to another one. So it was by really word of mouth. But for anyone that wants to get into the business that doesn't have any experience, I suggest apprenticing is a really good way to get into the business.
Okay. My daughter just graduated from makeup artist school tonight.
Congratulations.
Well, have her, feel free to have her email me. Michellephillips.com is my website, and she's welcome to contact me, shoot me any questions. I'd be happy to share with her some tips on how to get started. I have a lot of people asking me questions, because when I went to makeup artist school, there was really no Bobby Brown or Kevin Aucoin back then. It was like in the 1980s, early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
They were up and coming, too. So I always love to support young girls and boys, guys, too.
I'm sure she'll be excited to hear that. She's so excited about it. She's never been happier. She's actually an artist, a fine artist.
Mm-hmm.
But she loves fashion so much, and she loves makeup so much that she went to makeup artist school, and she's so thrilled because it's like doing art on the face.
It
she
is,
loves it.
And yes, and every face is different. It's never the same thing twice.
Mm-hmm.
So it absolutely is an art, and it's a wonderful career. You have to really work hard, and you know, sometimes in the beginning you've got to just throw yourself out there for free and volunteer to apprentice and just be on a set, be on a shoot, because you got to learn a lot more than just makeup artistry. You have to learn camera shooting and lighting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fascinating business, but there's a lot of work out there. So good luck. That's great.
I'll tell her that. I will. She's very excited. Well, I have a question I wanted to ask you. I kind of think about this a lot. I ask different makeup artists this question. When you are just running out of the house to run to the food store, and you can only put one thing on your face, what do you think is the most important thing to put on?
I put on every single day a tinted moisturizer that has an SPF in it to protect our skin from the sun, because photo damage is the number one thing for aging, I'm telling you, besides smoking and all those other things, but sun damage. And also, a tinted moisturizer has a little bit of foundation in it, so it evens out your skin tone, and you're moisturizing and hydrating your skin. So that, to me, I tell you, in fact, I did that this evening. I went out with my girls, and they went, "Oh, Mom, you look beautiful. You're glowing." The tinted moisturizer. It's fabulous.
Which one do you use?
Lip gloss.
Which tinted moisturizer do you recommend?
There's two. Revision IntelliShade is SPF 45, and it's a great tinted moisturizer. And then my new favorite is Sarah McNamara. And it's called Skin. Skin a Miracle Skin Transformer, and it has an SPF, but it has this gorgeous airbrush look to it when you put it on. You can buy it at Sephora.
What's it called?
It's Miracle Skin Transformer by Sarah McNamara. It just launched in Sephora a couple weeks ago,
and I absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful face and body. Even the body sunscreen makes your body look like it's got a little bit of a sheen to it, so it kind of, you know, softens our any imperfections we have.
Well, Michelle, this is just a life. We would love to have you back again to have more questions answered. And
I would love it. Just let me know. Absolutely.
That would be great.
Thank you so much for having me. You both are just delightful.
And we do have your link on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website so our listeners can find you as well.
Oh, thank you. That's fantastic. Well, please
congratulations
keep in touch. And if anyone wants to send a question, michellephillips.com, feel free.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
We can't wait
to
have you join us again.
Oh, I would love that. Really, I would.
Good.
Thank you so much. Have a great Thanksgiving, ladies.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, we're thanking our sponsors tonight, Laura Geller Makeup, Intimacy Bras, and St. Croix Orthopedics. We're especially thanking Corey, our wonderful producer. You can enjoy the Corey King Show every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on Artist First.
And we'd like to thank our guests, Dr. John Gaddy, Diane Gelman, and Michelle Phillips. I'm reminding everyone to enjoy our archives. All you have to do is go to our website, scroll down into the date that you want to listen to, click the date, and you can listen to us while you're playing on Facebook or you're doing work, while you're cleaning. You can enjoy some of our past shows.
Exactly. And thank you all for joining us. I'm going to leave you with a quote from The Beauty Blueprint by Michelle Phillips. Beauty is the gift of God by Aristotle. Now go do something wonderful, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving.